Okay, being ready for the Feast of Trumpets coming up in 1 week. Next Sabbath will be the weekly Sabbath and the Feast of Trumpets. Trumpets is an annual high day. The Hebrew is Yom Teruah, Day of Shouting. It's also called the Day of Trumpets in Scripture. And we'll see that in Numbers 29:1, for instance. Numbers 29:1, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you have a set-apart gathering. You do no servile work. It is a day of blowing the trumpets for you. All the scriptural feast days include trumpets. Psalm 81 tells us that, beginning at the first verse, Psalm 81. Sing aloud to Elohim our strength. Make a joyful shout to the Elohim of Jacob. Raise a song and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the lute. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon, on our solemn feast day. For this is a statute for Israel, a law of the Elohim of Jacob. He established it in Joseph as a witness when he went throughout the land of Egypt, where I heard a language I did not understand. We see trumpets in many places in the scriptures. One of Yahweh's high days is called the Feast of Trumpets. And the Feast of Trumpets includes trumpets for a special reason. They remind us that Yahweh saves his people who call on him in faith and righteousness. Let's look at some of the purpose for trumpets. In Numbers 10, beginning at verse 1, Numbers 10:1, we read, Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the congregation and for breaking camp. Now, I haven't worked very much with metal, but I don't know how you would turn a lump of silver into a trumpet. But there are people who are artists and can do that. Okay. When they blow on both of the trumpets, all the congregation shall gather before you at the door of the tent of meeting. But if they blow only one, then the leaders, the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather to you. When you sound the advance, the camps that lie on the east shall depart. When you sound the advance the second time, the camps that lie on the south side shall begin their journey. They shall sound the call for them to depart. And when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but not sound the advance. Apparently, there's a certain sound on the trumpet that they make to sound the advance. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets. And these shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. So trumpets were a means of communicating among the people of Israel. They were also a very important means of communication with Yahweh. Going on to verse 9 of Romans 10, when you go into battle in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before Yahweh your Elohim, and you shall be saved from your enemies. Brother Lucas, what might that sound like if someone's sounding the alarm? All right. And in the day of your gladness, in your appointed times, At the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your Elohim. I am Yahweh your Elohim. So, in the 6th century before the Messiah, the Jews were taken captive away from their land and were taken to Babylon and kind of imprisoned there. They didn't have them in cages, but they were bound to stay there, as I understand it. And after a time, one of the leaders of the Jewish community was the cupbearer before the emperor. And he said to the emperor, "You ask why I'm so sad today. Well, I'm sad because of my people. We need to go back to our land, to Jerusalem. And I've heard that the walls have been torn down." And the emperor said, "You please me so much, and I hate to see you sad, so I will make a decree that you can go back." And okay, I'm going to make sure I got the right scripture here. Okay, so Nehemiah went back to the land with a lot of the Jewish people, and they started working. They started working on the wall of Jerusalem. And we can read about that in Nehemiah chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Nehemiah 4:14. "And I looked and rose up and said to the nobles and to the deputy rulers and to the rest of the people, 'Do not be afraid of them. Remember the great and awesome Yahweh, and fight for your brothers, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses.' And it came to be, when our enemies heard that it was known to us that Elohim that had brought their counsel to naught, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. And it came to be that from that time on, that half of my servants were working in the work, while the others were holding the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the breastplates. And the rulers were behind all the house of Yehuda, who were building on the wall, and those bearing burdens, those loading, working with one hand the work, and with the other hand holding a weapon. As for the builders, each one had a sword girded at his side as he built, and the one who sounded the ram's horn was beside me. And I said to the nobles and to the deputy rulers and to the rest of the people, 'The work is great and large.'" And, you know, they had to build the wall all around the city of Jerusalem, so it was a long ways. They might be a long ways from each other. And, we are separated far from one another on the wall. In whatever place you hear the sound of a ram's horn, join us there. Our Elohim fights for us." Now, maybe Nehemiah had read in Numbers 29, which we read a little bit ago, about the trumpets being made to call for Yahweh's help in a time of trouble. Or maybe he had read about the old story in 2 Chronicles 13. Let's read and see if the trumpets really do work. 2 Chronicles 13, and we'll begin at verse 1. "In the 18th year of King Jehoram, Abijah became king over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Michayahu, the daughter of Uriel of Gibeah, And there was fighting between Abijah and Jeroboam. And Jeroboam was the king over the northern 10 tribes, Israel. And Abijah joined battle with an army of mighty men of battle, 400,000 chosen men. He was able to raise quite an army. And Jeroboam drew up in battle formation against him with 800,000 choice men, mighty, brave men. Uh-oh. The bad guys have twice as many soldiers as the good guys. Verse 4 of 2 Chronicles 13. Then Abijah stood on Mount Zimram, and which is in the mountains of Ephraim, and said, "Hear me, Jeroboam, and all Israel. Do you not know that Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, gave the dominion over Israel to David forever, to him and his sons, by a covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, a servant of Shlemoah, Solomon, the son of David, rose up and rebelled against his master. In vain men gathered to him, sons of Belial, and strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and tender of heart and could not withstand them. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of Yahweh, which is in the hand of the sons of David? And you have you are a great multitude, and with you are the gold calves which Jeroboam made for you as Elohim. Have you not thrown out the priests of Yahweh, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites, and made for yourself priests like the peoples of other lands, so that whoever comes to consecrate himself with a young bull and seven rams becomes a priest of things that are not Elohim? But as for us, Yahweh is our Elohim, and we have not forsaken him. And the priests who minister to Yahweh are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites attend to their duties. And every morning and every evening they burn to Yahweh burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. They also set the showbread in order on the pure gold temple table, and the lampstand of gold with its lamps to burn every evening. For we are guarding the command of Yahweh, our Elohim, but you have forsaken him. And see, Elohim himself is with us as our head, and his priests with sounding trumpets to sound the alarm against you. O children of Israel, do not fight against Yahweh, Elohim of your fathers, for you are not going to prosper." Abijah told it like it is. He really was a great-grandson of King David. But Jeroboam caused an ambush to go around behind them. This is verse 13. So they were in front of Judah, and the ambush was behind them. Uh-oh. The good guys are outnumbered 2-1 and surrounded too. Looks like Yehuda is in big trouble. Verse 14. And when Yehuda looked around, to their surprise, the battle line was in front and rear. And they cried out to Yahweh, and the priests sounded the trumpets. What would that sound like, Lucas? Okay. So what happened when they sounded the trumpets? Did it work? Ha! Verse 15. And the men of Judah gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it happened that Elohim struck Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Yehudah. And the children of Israel fled before Yehudah, and Elohim delivered them into their hand. Then Abijah and his people struck them with a great slaughter, so that 500,000 choice men of Israel fell slain. Thus the children of Israel were subdued at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed, because they relied on Elohim, on Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, the Elohim of their fathers. Yahweh saved his people at the sounding of the trumpet. Wasn't that great? Yahweh heard the sound of the trumpet and saved his people. Want to see it again? We go back about 500 years to the time when Israel was just entering the Promised Land. The first city they came to was Jericho. And we read about that in Joshua, beginning at chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the presence of the children of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. Now they had a high wall. And Yahweh said to Joshua, "Look, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war, and you shall go around the city once. This you shall do 6 days." Okay. "And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns, shofarim." And there are two kinds of trumpets, and they're almost interchangeable. There's the silver trumpets we talked about, hammered out, and then there's the shofar, which is made from a ram's horn. Okay. And the 7th day, so they march around the city one time, and the 7th day, "You shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the horns, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him." And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let the 7 priests bear the 7 ram's horns before the Ark of Yahweh." And he said to the people, and the people here means soldiers, he said to the people, "Proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of Yahweh." So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, the soldiers, that the 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of shofarim before Yahweh advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant followed them. What might that have sounded like, Lucas? Hallelujah. The armed men went before the priests and who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "When you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout." So he had the Ark of Yahweh circle the city around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the Ark of Yahweh. Then the 7 priests, bearing 7 trumpets of shofarim before the Ark of Yahweh, went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went with them, and the rear guard came after the Ark of Yahweh. while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And this second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day, they only marched around the city seven. On that day only, they marched around the city 7 times. And the 7th time it happened, and the priests blew with the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for Yahweh has given you this day." So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpets. Ha! There's a spider on the microphone. He was going down and up. No, that's not what happened. Back to the scripture. So the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Once again, the trumpets brought help from Yahweh. Trumpets is a special high day, 1 week from today, based partly on salvation with the trumpet. Once again, the trumpets. Okay, Leviticus 23, beginning at verse 24. We'll read a couple verses there. Leviticus 23:24. Yahweh says, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the 7th month, on the 1st day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a Kodesh convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. You shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. And in Numbers 29, verses 1 through 6, it shows us what that day was like and still should be like today. Numbers 29, beginning at verse 1. And in the 7th month, on the 1st day of the month, you shall have a set apart gathering. You shall do no customary work. For you it is a day of blowing the trumpets. You shall offer a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to Yahweh, 1 young bull, 1 ram, and 7 lambs in their 1st year without blemish. That's 9 perfect animals in all, just for the high day. Their grain offering shall be fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, and 2/10 for the ram, and 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs. Also, 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering to make atonement for you, besides the burnt offering with its grain offering for the new moon. Trumpets is the 1st day of the month, so it always begins in the evening before with the new moon. 2 bulls, 1 ram, and 7 lambs. Regular burnt offering with its grain offering. And their drink offerings according to their ordinance as a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to Yahweh. Of course, the sacrifices today are not animals that are killed, they are our prayers, as we read in Hebrews 13, verse 15. So let's be sure to offer all the sacrifices commanded for the high day. It seems there should be about 22 prayers just for the animals, some major prayers and some shorter ones, perhaps. What kind of a prayer is the equivalent of a full-grown bull being sacrificed? I don't know. Now let's get into the prophecies of when this day will be fulfilled. It would be good to read all of Joel 2 and the 2 verses of Joel 3. You might make a note of that. I'll leave that whole scripture reading to you, but I'll read part of it today. We're going to begin in Joel 2, verse 1. blow the shofar, a ram's horn, in Zion, and sound an alarm in my set-apart mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the earth tremble, for the day of Yahweh is coming, for it is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains, a people many and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor shall there ever be again after them, to the years of many generations. Ahead of them, a fire has consumed, and behind them a flame burns. Before them, the land is like the Garden of Eden, and behind them, a desert waste. And from them, there is no escape. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and they run like mighty steeds. As the noise of chariots, they leap over mountaintops, as the noise of a flaming fire, consuming stubble, as a mighty people set in battle array. And we'll skip down to verse 12. Yet even now, declares Yahweh, turn to me with all your heart, and with fasting and weeping and mourning, and tear your heart and not your garments, and turn back to Yahweh, your Elohim, for he shows favor and is compassionate, patient, and of great kindness, and he shall relent concerning the evil. Who knows? He may turn and relent and leave a blessing behind, a grain offering and a drink offering for Yahweh, your Elohim. Blow a shofar in Zion. Set apart a fast. Call an assembly. What might that sound like, Brother Lucas? A shofar in Zion. Hallelujah. Gather the people. Set the assembly apart. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and nursing babies. Let a bridegroom come. A bridegroom come out of his room, and a bride from her dressing room. And we'll skip all the way down to verse 32 of Joel 2. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of Yahweh shall be delivered. We learned that already, didn't we? Call on the name of Yahweh and get delivered. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be an escape, as Yahweh has said, and among the survivors whom Yahweh calls. Hallelujah. For look, in those days, this is Joel 3 now, the first couple verses. Look, in those days, and at that time, when I turn back the captivity of Yehuda and Jerusalem, this is Yahweh speaking, then I shall gather all Gentiles and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I shall enter into judgment with them there, for my people, my inheritance, Israel, whom they have scattered among the Gentiles and have divided up my land. Yahshua tells us more about when and how these things will happen in the Olivet Prophecy, which is in Matthew 24 and Mark 13. Well, let's look at Matthew 24, beginning at verse 29. Matthew 24, 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. I'd just like to mention that I don't know what the sign of the Son of Man is, but I know it isn't the cross, as some have thought. Okay, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. The sound of a great trumpet. Brother Lucas, this is the trumpet. Hallelujah. Okay. Paul adds a little to the prophecies of that high day. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning at verse 13. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, that's those who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Yahshua died and rose again, even so, Elohim will bring with him those who sleep in Yahshua. For this we say to you by the word of Yahweh, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Messiah will by no means precede those who are asleep. For Yahweh himself will descend from heaven with a cloud, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of Elohim. And the dead in the Messiah will rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Messiah in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Master. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And how are the dead raised? Well, we read about that also in 1 Corinthians 15, and we can get some background for it, beginning at verse 35, 1 Corinthians 15:35. But someone might say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Senseless one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And as to what you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain. It might be wheat or some other grain. So he's just saying, you know, if you want wheat in your field, you don't sow wheat plants and till them into the soil. You sow wheat seeds, little grains of wheat. Okay. Okay. Verse 38 of 1 Corinthians 15. But Elohim gives it a body as he wishes, and to each seed a body of its own. And all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, and another of fish, and another of birds. And there are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the esteem of the heavenly is truly one, and the esteem of the earthly is another. One esteem of the sun, and another of the moon. Another esteem of the stars, for star differs from star in esteem. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in incorruption, it is raised in incorruption. So this body that we have now, this physical body, can and will, for most of us, will die and mold and grave and be unrecognizable. It is sown in disrespect. It is raised in esteem. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. So when the resurrection comes, those who are believers and do what Yahshua said will be resurrected, and they will no longer have physical, corruptible bodies. They will have spirit bodies, whatever that means. There's a lot we don't know about the end times, but If we behave ourselves, do what's right, then we will learn. Okay. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it has been written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. That last Adam is Yahshua. The spiritual, however, was not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, earthy. The second man is the master from heaven. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. And as the heavenly, so also those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the likeness of the earthy, we shall also bear the likeness of the heavenly. And at this day, brothers, that flesh and blood is un... And this I... I'm sorry. And this I say, brothers, that flesh and blood is unable to inherit the kingdom of Elohim. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Well, now comes 1 Corinthians 15:51. I think I won't sing it today. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in the blink of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we who are alive at that time shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to Elohim, who gives us the victory through our Master, Yahshua the Messiah. He sent the Spirit of Yahweh after he arose so that we could keep the law and have that help of the Spirit and have forgiveness before Elohim. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of Yahweh, knowing that your labor is not in vain in Yahweh. Trumpets have been a signal for Yahweh to send salvation to his people for at least 3,500 years. But I think that is going to end. Soon, a time is coming when Yahweh will not save his people anymore. Why would that be? Because they shall all be saved. Just before the end, there will be a series of trumpets sounding. And we can read about that in Revelation 8, beginning at verse 2. Well, actually, just that one verse. And I saw the seven angels who stand before Elohim, and to them were given seven trumpets. Once again, trumpets are in play big time at the end. We read about the sounding, what happens at the sounding of the six trumpets. And then in Revelation 11, beginning at verse 14, we read about the last trumpet. Revelation 11, 14. The second woe is past. There was a series of the last three trumpets or three woes. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Elohim and of his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before Elohim on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped Elohim, saying, "We give you thanks, O Yahweh Elohim Almighty, the one who is, and who was, and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, both small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth." Then the temple of Elohim was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And there were lightnings and noises, thunderings and earthquakes, and great hail. Since we have seen all these things in the not too distant future, what should we be doing about it? Well, we read in Ephesians 5, beginning at verse 14, "Wake up, you who sleep, and arise from the dead, and the Messiah shall shine on you. See then that you walk exactly, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are wicked. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what is the desire of Yahweh." We might also think about what Yahweh told Moshe on the mountain. In Exodus 34, beginning at verse 6, verse 6 and 7. Yahweh, an El compassionate and showing love, favor, patient and great in kindness and truth, guarding kindness for thousands, forgiving crookedness and transgression and sin, but by no means leaving the guilty unpunished. In most Jewish communities, the prayer called Selishot, forgive me, will be recited in prayer services through the days of awe or the 10 days of remembrance, a special 10-day period that begins with Rosh Hashanah next Friday evening and on September 18th this year, and culminates with Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, on September 28th at sundown. This 10-day period is an intensive time of introspection and self-examination. It provides us the opportunity to survey the condition of our lives and hearts and get right with Yahweh and with our fellow man. Interestingly enough, the very name Israel, pronounced Yisrael in Hebrew, can be taken to mean right with Yahweh from the two Hebrew words, Yishar, meaning straight or right or honest, and El, so Yisrael. Let us all pray. Well, these scriptures we have reviewed show us that the trumpets, and especially the Feast of Trumpets, remind us that Yahweh saves his people who call upon him in faith and righteousness. Let us all pray for the blessing of Yahshua's coming with the great sound of Yahweh's trumpet, when we will be changed and the dead in the Messiah will be raised to eternal life. Hallelujah.